Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Pray. Aman and aman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to be here with you this morning, not just you here in the sanctuary, but also those tuning in on iChurch. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, please let us know. There is an area in the top right-hand corner where you can contact us. Let's turn to 1 John, the third chapter. And if you're a Hebrew scholar, it is 1 Yohanan. We know that it is not proper to say 1 John. So it's 1 John, 1 Yohanan. And it simply says the third verse, the third chapter, first verse says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, Yahweh. You know what? I'm glad you said that, because I just couldn't get past the first line. The more I realize how unworthy I am, the more I recognize how worthy he is. I could not stand here, sit here, lift up my head, had it not been for Yahweh. Thinking about us enough. When it says, what manner of love, what kind of love, basically, what kind of love is this? What kind of love is this that he would bestow his glory, his power, his love, his mercy on us? We are so like insignificant and so unworthy. And the more I realize that, the more I appreciate. Thank you, Yahweh, for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me a chance. Thank you for giving me a chance, because we didn't have a chance. So when we look at this, what manner of love, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the power, the glory, the anointing. There is so much that Yahweh has to offer us. And we're so unworthy. That's why it's important for us to just submit unto him and just receive everything. And a lot of times we get prideful. We think we all that. We think we the reason why success happens. We think we know everything. And the more I get into his word, the more I realize I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing except Yeshua crucified and dying for me. What, behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of Yahweh? We're not just friends, but we're family. But I got to point something out to you. We're not family that, we're not in a relationship with him that he's a road dog and he be kicking it. Let's get that straight. There's power and deity and royalty and reverence there. You know, there's this new way, oh yeah, we should, God is my homeboy. No, he ain't your homeboy. Better get it right. He's worthy of praises. He's worthy of reverence. He's worthy of all of the respect and honor that you could muster up. Because he didn't have to do nothing for you. But behold, what manner. And if I could just expound that, what manner of mercy? What manner of grace has the Father given us that we should be called his sons? Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of Yahweh, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as. So that means that there's something about him that we're going to be able to behold. There's something that he possesses that we're going to be able to be a part of. There's something that people, that is observable. Say observable. Observable. What does that mean? That means people are going to be able to see it. Now, I had to do this before, but if you look around the room, we're not there totally yet. But we have this glorified potential. He is working a work on us. And so this is the hope that we have. And so when we're talking about his glory, there's something about the presence of Yahweh, his power, his honor, the glory. If we look up the definition of glory, it's the Hebrew word kabod. And that word means his presence. There's a weight to it. It's heavy. Tell your neighbor, it's heavy. There's a great substance to it. And so when we look at the definition of that, it means his majestic splendor, his great substance. Have you ever heard the term the weight of his glory? So there's something that's observable about Yahweh. There's something powerful about Yahweh. There's something about the presence of Yahweh that does not just belong to him, but he has bestowed some of it upon you. His glory is what? On you. The Greek word doxa. And so we should be vessel. Ooh. What's a vessel? Vessel is something that you pour into. Any vessels here? But the beauty about a vessel is that it's open. And too many believers got a closed vessel. When your vessel is closed, that means that you don't need to be poured into. You got everything you need all up inside yourself. But without his glory, we're empty. Without his power, will of none effect. So the goal here as believers is to create an open vessel that he may be able to pour in, and that his glory will be shown through us and in us, and that the world will see him. And so if we go to Yeshayahu or Isaiah, go to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. The things that we behold when we're coming together in service, my goodness, worship. When we are in worship to him, giving him praises, there is an atmosphere that is created. You understand what I'm talking about? His glory is actually in the room. And it's something that we are experiencing. But do you know, if we come with an expectation, a great expectation, do you know that that glory can actually be manifested into something that we could actually see? We know of it as the Shekinah glory. It's just a smokiness, just a haze of his glory. But if you come and you're like, I'm just here. In the day of Pentecost, they were all in the same place, and it said they were in one accord. What does that mean? They were all expecting something to happen. They were expecting something to manifest. Last I checked, after Yeshua left and sent the Holy Ghost that fell down in Acts, Yeshua has not returned yet. So the things that went forth in the book of Acts and the way his glory was manifested is still able to happen in that same power today. Do you believe it? Then act like it. Expect his glory to show up. When we all come together, a lot of times we laughing, we talking, but there was a reverence when people came into the temple. There was an expectation. They came into the sanctuary, into the temple with reverence. There was a way that they approached it. Do you think they were laughing and joking when they walked through the doors? Let me explain something to y'all. We have an outer court out there. The outer court is a big place, and it's an opportunity for you to go out there and you go head on and laugh. You go head on and kick up your heels. You go head on and give somebody a pat on the back. Hey, yeah, them greens was good. Hey, the game, man, did you see that game? Oh, yeah. All the things of the natural, but there's coming a time where we're really going to have to start reverencing Yahweh the way and respecting Yahweh the way he deserves to be reverenced, the way he deserves to be respected, the way he needs to be honored. Because if we come in and treated him any old kind of way, you think he gonna come visit? No, they're not ready. They're not ready for my power and my glory to fall. This would be a place when you come through the, it's the, I love the fact that those doors are, what's the average height of a door? Thank you, Tim. 8 feet. What are those doors? They're taller than your average door. 12-foot doors. Wait, Andre, hold up. How tall are you, dude? 6'4". Oh, my goodness. And there's another 4 or 5 above. When those doors swing open and you walk into those doors, you should treat that with reverence. This is the house. This is the holy place. This is an opportunity for you to experience him in his presence. And if you are expecting to experience him, then respect him. If you want to reverence him, if you want to see him doing some stuff, honor him. They did. And the third verse, if we go to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. You got it? Isaiah 40. Let's go to the third verse. It says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh. Make straight in the desert a highway. A highway for our God, Yahweh. What does that mean? There's some steps we need to take to prepare ourselves for him to come in. It says, this is the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. What's the wilderness? All the stuff y'all got going on is the wilderness. Y'all got a lot of wilderness going on. It's the cares of this life, your troubles, your situations. your complications. You ever tell somebody, well, how you doing? It's complicated. Why is it complicated? You are children of the Most High God. You're not just anybody. Tell your neighbor, we're not just anybody. We're his children. So therefore, there is a power and a glory and something working that he operates in that we are beneficiaries of. So if his power is allowed, hello, if his power is allowed to work in your life, it's not complicated.
Come on, tell the truth.
It's only complicated if you don't allow the power to work in your life. Guess what? He don't force the power on you. He wants you to want the power. So he's saying, hey, I got all of this potential energy right here. I got all of this dunamis up in here, this power, and it wants to be activated. Dynamis is the power, is the power that comes off the dunamis. Dynamis is the activation of the power. So dunamis is that potential power, and then when it comes off and does something, it's dynamis. He's saying, I want somebody to draw off of this dynamis. But they have to want the dynamis and the dunamis to work. So that means that in all this wilderness you got going on, prepare ye the way. That means provide an entrance. Get all of the mess out of your head. Get all of the doubt out of your head. Get all of the fear out of your head and let the power of Yahweh flow into your situation. Because that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to flow into your what? So what's our job? Prepare ye the way. What does that mean? Get your obstacles out the way, y'all. Remove the obstacles. If laziness is an obstacle, move it. If fear is your obstacle, that's a lot of people's obstacle. Move it. If doubt, move it. Hey, if other people, come on now. Ooh, oh. If somebody's getting in the way of the glory, move them. See, that's the problem. Oh, but they my friend. All right, move it. Tell your neighbor, move. You got to prepare the way. Say, I have to prepare the way. Oh, get rid of them, Yahweh. No, you get rid of them. Just tell them no. Can we hang out? No. Can we go clubbing? No. I need a wingman. No. You have to say no. Why? Because I must prepare the way of Yahweh. Make straight in the desert. Hello, somebody. Yes, your life is a desert at times. You got some dryness. You got some mess. But you can still prepare a way for Yahweh in the desert. Come on, y'all. There can still be a way prepared in the desert. But you got to what? Prepare the way. Who prepares the way? But guess what? Once you prepare the way, he turns it into a highway. Come on! For our God! He takes that little, you just give him a little way. You give him a pathway, and he'll make a highway. He'll be a whole freeway. But at first, you gotta what? Prepare the way. But if you don't prepare the way, there's nothing on board. You got the weeds and the us. You're not saying, come on, I'm gonna move this stuff out the way for don't worry. Oh, Don't worry about the highway, people.
Come on now.
Just prepare the way. If you just if you just clear out that stuff, he'll make the Grand Canyon. Hallelujah. He'll just open up something big. And so the next verse says what? And this just talks about what he can do, what he has the power to do. Say, my God can do anything. We looked at that in his name. Huh. Yod Hey Vav Hey that we went through last week. He said his name is Yeh 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 Shir Yeh Yeh. That means I what? I will be whatever I will be. So whatever you need, he'll be it. And this is what he'll do. He says, if you let me in, if you prepare just the way, every valley is going to be exalted. So the low places in your life, who got low places? I got low places. God knows I do. He'll take them low places and he'll what? Because every valley is going to be exalted. Who's got mountains? I got some mountains. You pass the time. Pastors got valleys? Mountains. Ministers got mountains? And we all need y'all. Ain't nobody exempt. We all need him. I need him to move and make stuff in my life. And the crooked. Anybody crooked? Don't worry about it. If you make a way, he's going to make your crooked straight. Because you can't make your crooked straight. You make it straight. But you got to give him an opportunity to come on in and work that. Who got rough places? Plain means smooth. Say smooth. All right. And so the fifth verse says what? And the glory, the doxa, the kabod, of Yahweh shall be revealed. See, we keep on saying this revealing. Reveal means somebody's going to see it. It's going to be observable. So people are going to be able to see the glory on you. Check this out. They'll be able to see that your valleys have been lifted up. Mm. They'll be able to see that the mountains in your life have been reduced. They'll be able to see the crookedness that you used to do. Ain't crooked no more. You rocking the straight. And they'll see all the rough areas that you have. We all got some rough stuff. And people will be observable. They'll be able to see how smooth you are now. I don't mean smooth in a tricky way. I mean, he has really shown his glory in how your life, you used to talk rough. You used to live rough. You used to do rough. You used to look rough. Now people can see, wow, that dude, he used to look like he was struggling. But wow. Look at what God has done in his life. Whatever he's got, give me some of that. Whatever she got, give me some of that. So it's going to be revealed. People are going to be able to see what he's done in life. And it says, and all flesh shall see it together. What does that mean? All flesh. Everybody's going to see it. Say it's observable. Tell your neighbor, it's observable. Can't you see it? They better say, yeah. But you better give them something that is observable. Say he's able. Say he's able. Because for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. I know it's going to be revealed. I know he's going to do what he said he's doing as long as I prepare the way. Why do I know? Because his very mouth said it. He said it with his mouth. Guess what? The word is when something comes out of the mouth of Yahweh, it is called emet. E-M-E-T. And that is the Hebrew word for truth. When emet is spoken, Emet means it came right out of the mouth of Yahweh. And it's true. Why y'all doubting that he's able? Well, I done lived so hard, I don't know what he can do for me. He can do it. Well, I've done so many things wrong. We can change it. Y'all don't know what I've been through. That's all right. He'll bring the valley up. He'll lower the mountain and he'll smooth out the rough places. Hallelujah. That's what he specializes in. See, what you need, you don't need no psychiatrist. You don't need no, what's the other dude's name? Dr. Phil and, listen, you guys got the head. You got the very creator. You have a higher authority. And if he said that he can cure you, he can cure you. He's got the power to do it. He said, just let me in. Yeah, just let me in. I'm going to show you something. Ha ha. Somebody say he's got the power. So let's go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. I just don't have a lot of time to get into these things, but we're going to get it in. Oh, the God I serve, he can do these. These things are possible, but you got to open up. See, that's the problem with the believers nowadays. They don't believe. That's why we had to go to the origin last week. We had to talk about the God we serve. When we say praise Yahweh, you need to know what you're saying. You're saying praise the one who will be whatever he will be. The one whoever he will do whatever he will do. He's the greatest. There's no one greater than he. And basically what you're saying to somebody, praise the greatest of all. And then that other person says, praise Yahweh, in agreement, like, hey, yes, praise the one, the only one that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. And then that other person says, I'm on. It is declared that, yes, I'm going to praise the one. He's able to do it, and I declare. I put my declaration on it. Basically, if you want to break it down, I'll put everything on it. I'll put money on it. I'll put everything on it. I'll put my life on it. And that's how you, when the things concerning Yahweh, you should be able to say, I can put my life on it. I'll put my life on it because he is giving me emet, truth. And I know it's able to be done because it comes straight out of his mouth. So when we go here, Isaiah, 1 Corinthians, first chapter, 28th verse. This is a scripture that totally allows me to see how fortunate and how blessed I am that he even considers us. He doesn't have to consider you. He says in the 28th verse, the base things of the world and the things which are despised. What is he talking about? Us. We are considered the base things of this world. Amen. You in your unsaved state, you was base. What does base mean? You was low. Some say you was toe up, but really you was toe down from the flow down. You was that low. And the things which are despised, people had given up on you. People have said, you know what? They ain't gonna be nothing. They ain't gonna never change. We sing a song, if not for grace, where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case, an empty space. if not for grace. Does anybody know what we're talking about this morning? Tell your neighbor, he was talking about me. See, if you had turned around and said, he's talking about you, somebody would have got mad. Just say, he's talking about me. I was a hopeless case. So when I read this scripture, I just have a newfound appreciation. And the base things of this world and the things which are despised hath God, Yahweh, chosen. What does that mean? He said, I don't care about what people said about you. I don't care about you one bit. I've chosen you. I'm able to do something in you. Yay! And then after that, it says, yay! Meaning like, I interpret this yay as he has chosen us. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not worthy, but I acknowledge that you have chosen me even in this messed up state. Thank you. I humbly receive it. And he says, and things which are not, because you wasn't what you had the potential to be. Come on. To bring to naught things that are. And in the 29th verse, he says, no flesh should glory in his. He gonna burn it. Give him that flesh, y'all. Let him transform me. The flesh is not gonna get the glory. He gonna take all that mess out, but you gotta give it to him. Say, hey, Yahweh, here I am. Shape me, make me, mold me, consume me. I'm giving you my life. No flesh should glory in his presence. Basically, you're saying, shine your glory, not my flesh. Shine your glory into this life. Who needs the glory to shine in their life? Open up! And in the 30th verse, it says, but of him are ye in Mashiach Yeshua. As of him. Who of Yahweh is made unto us? Wisdom? Come on, y'all. He shines that wisdom into us, righteousness into us. Somebody say sanctification. He sanctifies you. That means he cleans you up for his use. Come on. Redemption. Let the redeemed. Who's been redeemed? Who's been transformed and refreshed and made over? Those are the things that he provides in his glory. Say it's in his glory. So when I say wisdom, I need you to, whatever I say, I need you to say is in his glory. So wisdom.
In his glory.
Righteousness.
In his glory.
Sanctification.
In his glory.
Ha, redemption.
In his glory.
Transformation.
In his glory.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And then 31 says that according as it is written. So that means it's somewhere else. As it is written. When they say this, as it is written, that means it's probably somewhere in the Torah, the Old Testament.
Amen.
He that glorieth, let him what?
Glory
in Yahweh. Say, the glory is in Yahweh. And his glory is going to be revealed in you. It's going to happen. Tell your neighbor, it's gonna happen. He's already trying to work. See, a lot of times it's us. Our flesh gets in the way of the glorification process. There's a glory that's trying to take place in our life, and then we throw our flesh on it. We cover it up, we mess with it. And that's the problem. Well, I think, you know, it should be like this. What does the word say about it, y'all? Well, I'm just gonna do this. That's the crazy thing about it. He brings us to this point where he is completely like taken us out of situations. And this is what we do. We say, you know what? I got it from here. thanks. I got it now, God. Thanks. I got this. Let me take the wheel now. There's a saying. It's a country song or whatever. Jesus, take the wheel. You know what? Yeshua, just go ahead and take. You know, I don't have to drive. Take the wheel. Who wants him to take the wheel? Who wants him to drive? Don't you want to drive to the places he want to drive to? Don't you want to go to the places he want to go to? Don't you want to hang out with the plane at the places he wants to hang out, which is probably here? But you want to take the wheel. And you want to take him to some your crazy spots. Come on, Yeshua. No, I won't even use his name. You might as well say, come on, Jesus. Come on to the club. Come on to the club, Jesus. And watch me break it down. I mean, literally, do we really understand that he's with us? Do y'all really understand that his glory is on you? It's in you. It's like Jamba Juice. It's all mixed in there now. So when you go to the club, the Holy Ghost is up in there with you. Somebody say, what? Well, you think the Holy Ghost jump out and jump back in again? No. He's in there. So what you're doing is you're dragging him to the club. You're dragging him to the night bar. You're dragging him to the hotel and the motel and the Holiday Inn. He said in. Somebody say, his glory is with me. See, maybe if we understand the... Maybe if we understood that, that his glory is with us. I got this. Y'all gonna make me skip ahead. Let's go here. His glory is with us. Oh, go to Psalm. If you're a Hebrew scholar, it is. We gotta respect the glory, the power, the presence. It's with us, it's in us. So that's why I want him to take the wheel. Come on, I don't want to go to Taco Tuesday. Take me to church. Come on, you take the wheel. Come on. Okay, so, in the Hebrew custom of things, they respected opportunities to come to the house. They respected and were thankful for opportunities to go to the temple. Of course, when there was a tabernacle in the wilderness, they couldn't walk up into that tabernacle any old kind of way. Say, the glory is in us. So even you can't just live your life any old kind of raggedy way. You got royalty in you. You got his deity in you. You got his righteousness in you. You got his sanctification in you. You got his redemption in you. It's working in you. Hey, anybody ever been to the club and you saw somebody that you recognized from church? And they recognize you? Hey, have you ever been in a situation, maybe you had a drink or you had your beer sitting up there and somebody said, oh, praise God, how you doing? At the restaurant, and you got your martini glass in there. Oh, yeah, it's just water. Yeah. I felt a little parched. You can say what you want. But how did you feel on the inside? On the inside. Y'all can put up fronts. I can put up a good front. You know? Some of y'all will never, ever get an Academy Award, but you are some of the best actors that have ever walked. You try to cover it up. What's happening on the inside? What is the Holy Spirit ministering to you? Tell a neighbor, tell your neighbor, I got to get it right. Yeah, I got to get it right. But anyway, they approached temple worship in a very genuine and sincere way. It was reverence. It was declaring, say declaring, speaking and saying things. So let's go to Psalms, the 24th chapter, 7th verse. So Psalms were kind of set to music. This is spontaneous. Just play me something really nice and beautiful, Lenita. You know, just some real soft, beautiful music. Not too high. Just you know, just something real smooth. Yes. So, the Psalms, of course, were set to music, and music was a big part of it. You know, when you talk about Psalms, you talk about David. Worship was the sound that went forth in the temple, okay? And so you had these big giant doors. And on the inside of the doors was a group of people, probably the priests and those who tended to the temple. And on the other side of the doors were the people that were getting ready to come in. And before the doors were even opened, they prepared a way of reverence. There were things said to, somebody say, set the atmosphere. Did you know that in worship and in praise and in prayer, there's an atmosphere? Serenity, even right now. As the music's playing and we're talking about him, there's an atmosphere. There's an atmosphere of power. Because basically what we're saying is, we've come to see you. We want to come in to experience you. We want to come in to acknowledge you. So picture this. There's a group of people on the inside, the priests and, like I said, the people that were preparing the house for worship. Then there were people on the outside that were getting ready to come on, and you had these big doors. And the people on the outside would say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, meaning that get ready. Something is about to happen. The doors are about to open. And he says, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Those are the people on the outside. And then the 8th verse says, these are the people that's on the inside. So now those people say, the doors are getting ready to open up. Get ready on the inside, y'all, because the King of glory is about to come in. And then the people on the inside would say, who is this King of glory? And the people on the outside would say, Yahweh, strong and mighty. Yahweh, mighty in battle. So the people on the inside would be like, okay, we about to let you in, but who is? What's the password? Do you know who is this King of glory? And they said, and basically the people outside would say, yes. The 8th verse. Go back to 8th verse. People was like, Yahweh strong and mighty. Yahweh mighty in battle. And so then the 9th verse would come up. And so the people on the outside would say, lift up your heads again, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And the 10th verse says, the people on the inside would say, what? Who is this King of glory? And then the people answered and said, Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, he is the the King of Glory. And after that happened, the doors would spring open and in would come the people to worship. There was an anticipation. There was a declaration of how mighty this God is. And who is Yahweh Sabaoth? Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Who is the host? All of the heavenly angels and those that are sent at his disposal to do whatever he sends them to do. So if you need something, Yahweh Sabaoth says, let me send an angel over there and get that done and operate in their behalf. He's the one that's doing it. The hosts are operating on your behalf because you know who is the King of Glory. You know who is Yahweh of Hosts. So I want this front row, stand up. You the ones on the inside. And I want you to come up here. Turn to the people. And then y'all, you stand up because you are trying to get inside of here. You're trying to approach the throne room, the very presence of Yahweh. And we're going to call back and forth to each other from the seventh verse. So let's go to the seventh verse. And we're on the outside looking in, right? And so we're saying, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come. And then you guys say what? Yahweh strong and mighty. Yahweh, mighty in battle. And then you on the outside say, lift up your head, O ye gates. Father Yahweh, we acknowledge you right now. You are the only potentate. You are the only Lord God to be worshipped. You are Yahweh Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. You are Yahweh. Yod Hey Vav Hey. Hey, yeah, it's here. Hey, yeah. Hey! Hallelujah! The only one able! The only one! Yahweh! Strong and mighty! Yahweh! Mighty in battle! So, we acknowledge who you are. We acknowledge your glory. We acknowledge your power. We acknowledge your anointing. Right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, you have said it straight from your mouth. Your glory shall be revealed in us, through us, to us. Show your glory. Show your glory right now. In our lives, you be glorified. In our testimony, you be glorified. In our healing, you be glorified. In our deliverance, you be glorified. In our trial and our situation, you be glorified. It's your glory. So we submit ourselves. If we have not submitted ourselves before, or acknowledge how we must do it, we release our lives to you. Shape us, make us, mold us right now. In the mighty name of Yeshua, We will prepare the way for you, Yahweh, for your highway to come into our lives. We lift you up. We give it all to you. You King of glory. Hallelujah. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting Lord. And the King of glory shall come in. We give you the glory in Yeshua's mighty name, we pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hey, Shandarabasa.